Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, July 31st. Santa Fe County Commissioners have passed a resolution of support for marriage equality in New Mexico. They also ask that state lawmakers address inequitable treatment of same-sex marriage that violates the state constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The move comes as Santa Fe County Clerk Geraldine Salazar finds her refusal to issue a marriage license to a male couple the subject of a lawsuit. The county must defend her actions and hopes the resolution will now signal the courts to provide clear legal standing on the matter. In other action, the commission is moving forward on revisions to the county's drunk driving vehicle forfeiture ordinance. Currently, vehicles can be seized after a third arrest if the owner has two prior convictions. The proposed changes would permit seizure upon second arrest with just one prior. The fees for a hearing on any forfeiture would rise from the current $100 to $165. The county plans a public hearing on the changes before taking a vote, though a date has not yet been announced. Roswell's Valley Meat Company, the enterprise that plans to open an equine slaughterhouse facility next week, has been hit with a suspicious fire. The operation has been the focus of fierce opposition by animal welfare advocates, and law enforcement says items found at the scene likely indicate arson. The fire destroyed refrigeration units needed to store the plant's rendered horse meat. The owners say they will be replaced, but perhaps not in time for Monday's planned opening. The slaughterhouse faces one final legal hurdle on Friday, when a court must decide if an environmental impact review is needed. Governor Susana Martinez has issued an executive order of emergency, providing financial relief for areas of New Mexico sustaining damages from recent monsoonal storms and flash flooding. The Department of Finance and Administration will now oversee a $500,000 disbursal to the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management toward assistance in areas including Guadalupe and Rio Arriba counties, the town of Bernalillo and city of Belen, as well as the Santa Clara Pueblo. The order also provides for the National Guard to render services as needed. The board of the Public Employees Retirement Association of New Mexico is conducting an informational session in Red River both today and tomorrow. It's expected to be attended by representatives from Moody's Financial Ratings Services, which recently downgraded some City of Santa Fe bonds due to what they say were imbalanced contributions to PERA. The city says that's not the case and Moody's data was incorrect. They add that Moody's never investigated the data with the city or PERA. A report from the Las Cruces Sun News highlights data from a CDC report saying drug use among New Mexico's teens exceeds rates seen in large metropolitan areas such as Chicago, Baltimore, and Detroit. That includes usage of street drugs like heroin and cocaine. Meanwhile, some 18% of our state's teenagers have tried marijuana before age 13. That's twice as high as the CDC's national average. About 28% of teens of all ages here are also more likely to have used drugs within the past 30 days, compared to just 23% nationwide. The Santa Fe National Forest says smoke will likely be visible over the next few days from a 170-acre fire burning some 4 miles west-northwest of Jemez Springs. Dubbed the Stable Fire, firefighters will be conducting burnout operations on its western edges. They say it's a low-intensity fire, slowly burning fuels along the forest floor. Santa Fe County hosts a solar celebration this evening as the Tasuki Fire Station unveils its new 6.1-kilowatt photovoltaic array. The county partnered with nonprofit New Energy Economy to bring the project to fruition. And Mariel Nanasi with New Energy says the installation is cost-effective.
This celebration tonight is going to mark the solar installation there. It's going to provide 100% of the electric consumption of this Santa Fe Fire Station. About $2,000 a year at this fire station will be freed up to be used, and the fire chief already said we are going to put it into fire safety equipment, which is exactly what we want.
The public introduction of the new power system takes place in conjunction with the Tasuki Valley Community Association's annual barbecue at the fire station, which begins at 5:30. And weather for Santa Fe, a modest uptick in monsoonal moisture across the state brings slight chances for afternoon and evening showers. A 20% chance today with otherwise mostly sunny skies and a high near 90. Slightly better chances for precipitation tomorrow with highs in the mid-80s. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature now 85 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from Naropa University, with degrees in the expressive arts including art therapy, dance therapy, body psychotherapy, wilderness therapy, and more. Learn more online at naropa.edu.
12 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. Medicare has been in existence for 48 years, signed into law by President Lyndon Johnson back on July 30th of 1965. Although our population is rapidly aging and the need for Medicare is ever increasing, it's also under pressure to reduce costs. Gene Varela is the director of ARP in New Mexico and joins us now. Gene, with the country's economic woes and the population growing older, it would seem Medicare may be more important than ever before. Your thoughts on that?
I'm not sure that listeners realize that 96% of New Mexico seniors, those individuals 65 or older, are on Medicare in New Mexico. That's over 258,000 people. As you can see, 96% of our 65-plus population relies on this for their primary health care coverage.
Tell us about some of the proposed changes to the program.
Because of the discussions at the national level regarding the future and budget discussions, the future of Medicare and Social Security, they're looking at how can they potentially use Medicare as a way to balance the budget, which we argue is not the right way to do it for a couple of reasons. One is people have invested in the Medicare program through their taxes. They are invested and should have access to those resources. And secondly, this is not the only program in the budget. To use this as a leverage for balancing the budget is just not the right way. We have too many people who would be impacted by any changes. The other potential discussion that's going on is increasing the age of eligibility. And, you know, we've already got a huge number of people between the ages of 50 and 64 who are uninsured. And changing the Medicare age just dumps another group of people into that group that would need to be covered.
And as it stands now, even without any cuts, Medicare still does not completely cover a person, correct?
That's correct. For example, in 2011, most New Mexicans spent about $5,400 on out-of-pocket expenses. So that means right at the start, out-of-pocket increased costs. And so now you've got people who had only a certain level of costs, and they're going to increase those costs. And so that impacts on everybody else, receiving the services. I'm not sure that also we don't acknowledge the impact on the economy. We talk about the economy. And what do these programs, you forget that it's not just that people get health care. It's also that in New Mexico, for example, in 2011, there was $2.83 billion spent for health care services in New Mexico. The other potential discussion that's going on is increasing the age of eligibility. And, you know, we've already got a huge number of people between the ages of 50 and 64 who are uninsured. And changing the Medicare age just dumps another group of people into that group that would need to be covered in other ways. And so that's the other harmful proposal that we're hearing about. We'd like to propose that Congress look at some other options for covering the costs and reducing expenses and hopefully, you know, expanding the life of Medicare.
What are some areas you feel need attention?
Well, one is looking at the whole area of prescription drug coverage and the pricing of prescription drugs. You know, one of the big discussions nationally has been that drug companies are asking the other drug companies that produce generics to hold off on releasing generics until they have extended and gained more profit from the brand name. And so we're proposing that one of the things is that Congress take action to limit that and stop that process. also look at giving the federal government the ability to negotiate drug prices, just as the federal government can do that with a veterans prescription drug benefits and with Medicaid. The other area is looking at fraud and abuse. How can we reduce fraud and abuse in, you know, both by improper billing and then by increasing penalties for any identity theft or the use of information through Medicare?
Looking ahead, what are the hopes for the Medicare program?
Well, I hope that what will happen is that Congress will have very carefully looked at how they want to approach the future of Medicare. They do need to look at how can we reduce costs, but not on the backs of those individuals who need these services the most. How can we make sure that the core benefits are there, that we continue to have all of us contributing to those costs fairly and equitably, and then how do we look at where in the program can we do some appropriate and responsible type of solutions to the costs of Medicare, and not do these knee-jerk, harmful cuts that will affect many people.
And anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
AARP and AARP New Mexico has been working hard to get people to recognize, number one, that Medicare is being discussed at the national level, and because we all are invested in the program, we need to voice our concerns and our preferences for how this program should be continued. And we have a website called youveearnedasay.org where people can go online and can send messages and support the efforts, hopefully support the efforts that we're working on today.
Gene Barella of ARP New Mexico, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will be back in just a moment.
Support comes from the Santa Fe Farmers Market, providing fresh, locally grown food to our community. The Farmers Market is now open every Saturday and Tuesday from 7 a.m. to noon in the rail yard. The Southside Market takes place on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 6 at the Santa Fe Place Mall parking lot, Zafferano entrance. On Sundays from 10 to 4, the market hosts the Rail Yard Artisans Market, featuring fine arts and crafts, food, music, and more. To learn more, visit SantaFeFarmersMarket.com.
19 minutes past the hour here in the KSFR newsroom. West Nile virus infection is a serious health threat, and a human case of the illness has just been documented for the first time this year here in New Mexico. Here now to discuss the disease with us is Dr. Paul Edestat from the Department of Health. Doctor, tell us about West Nile.
West Nile virus infection is a disease that's spread by the bites of infected mosquitoes. Most of the time, the virus only causes a mild illness, but in some cases, especially in older people, it can also produce serious neurologic manifestations, including things like encephalitis and meningitis.
And what are the signs and symptoms of the infection?
From the time you get bit by a mosquito, symptoms usually appear about 2 to 14 days afterwards. In some people, it may take a little longer. Typically, the disease may cause mild illness, including fever, maybe some swollen lymph glands, muscle aches, and sometimes a skin rash. And then in the more severe cases of illness, it might spread to the nervous system or the bloodstream and cause high fever and maybe an intense headache, stiff neck, and confusion.
Are there people more likely to become infected?
What we have noticed is that typically people over the age of 60 years and older are at greatest risk for having more severe illness. But even younger people can have severe consequences. In fact, our first case this year was in a 13-year-old boy from San Juan County, and he actually was hospitalized for a few days, but is back home and has recovered. We do see more cases along some of our riverways where we have more irrigation going on. So places like San Juan County, Bernalillo County, and Doñana County, where we have both irrigation and human populations, we typically see more cases there. But we have had cases in almost every county in New Mexico.
How many cases do we typically see here in New Mexico versus other states?
Well, last year we had around 47 cases, and unfortunately one of those cases was fatal. The first year we ever had West Nile was back in 2003. That year we had over 200 cases, and we actually had 4 fatalities. So we can have quite a few cases. There are some states, like Texas last year, that had hundreds of cases, compared to New Mexico. But still, it's not a disease where you want to be the one person who gets it. So we try to tell people, no matter where you are, no matter if you're in New Mexico and there's fewer mosquitoes, you really need to protect yourself.
And it would seem that with the monsoon season and more mosquitoes breeding, there would be an increase in the number of West Nile cases, yes?
The month that we have the most cases in New Mexico is August, and then into September also. So these are the time of the year when we really need to look out and protect ourselves from mosquito bites. We actually had a human case last year in Santa Fe County that occurred in the middle of October. So people need to be careful, even up to the first hard frost, because mosquitoes are still present up until that time.
What's the treatment for this?
Well, there is no specific treatment. Since West Nile infection is not caused by a bacteria, antibiotics will not work to treat the patient. Instead, what doctors have to do is treat the illness symptomatically and try to reduce the symptoms. Most people do recover from the illness. And unfortunately, there is a vaccine for horses, but at this time, there's no vaccine for humans.
Well, given the absence of specific treatment, what are some preventative measures people can partake of?
There's some really important things you can do. You know, mosquitoes are much more active from dusk to dawn. So if you can avoid going out at those times, that can help prevent mosquito bites. Also, if the weather permits, wearing protective clothing like loose-fitting long-sleeve shirts, long pants, and socks can help. Otherwise, if you're out, using a mosquito repellent on exposed skin and clothing when you go outdoors always works really well also. And just make sure you read the label and follow the label and directions on the repellents when you use them. And then another thing to do is look around your house and see if you have any water-holding containers where the mosquitoes lay their eggs, any old tires or water in bird baths, wading pools or pet water bowls, rain barrels, things like that can increase the number of mosquitoes around your house. And then check your windows and doors to make sure you don't have any holes in your screens so the mosquitoes can't get inside your house.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Again, I think people need to realize this is a rare disease, but again, to really reduce your risk, just make sure you're aware. If there are mosquitoes out, take precautions, and you should be fine.
Dr. Paul Edestab with the New Mexico Department of Health, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. And we'll be back for you in just a moment.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Viom conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
1225 here at KSFR as At Noon continues. This weekend, Santa Feans will have the chance to help out one of the city's vital nonprofit organizations. KSFR news reporter Charles Maynard joins us now and files this report.
The Esperanza Shelter in Santa Fe has been aiding the victims of domestic violence for years. They strive to help empower people to live violence-free lives through protection, prevention, awareness, and education. This weekend, there'll be a large benefit for the shelter. Tisha Shostrand is the manager of the Hillside Market in Santa Fe and talks a bit about Esperanza.
Esperanza is a nonprofit here in town that serves the community, folks who are dealing with domestic violence victims and perpetrators as well. So they serve the entire family for the community of Santa Fe. Shelter, counseling, services, a variety of support services. Absolutely. The family can live there for a temporary time until they get on their feet.
The benefit is being sponsored by the Hillside Market.
We put together a variety of folks who want to come out and help Esperanza. We have about 65 artists here at the Hillside Market, and so a variety of them have donated pieces for silent auction, and we have a storyteller coming. We have Raven Red Fox, who is a guitarist, and Zenobia, and Fernando, our chef Fernando, will be serving up appetizers for our folks, and we're just trying to create some awareness around Esperanza, what they're trying to do in the community, and help support them.
The event takes place this Saturday, August 3rd.
It is Saturday, the 3rd of August at Hillside Market. We are next to Harry's Roadhouse, the old Tropic of Capricorn, 86 Old Las Vegas at 6:30 p.m., Tickets are $35. Everything will be going, all money and proceeds will be going to Esperanza. And it will go until about 9.
In addition to funds generated through ticket sales and the silent auction, any items purchased from the store will also help Esperanza.
Usually we'll open up the store, so anything we sell in the store will be 10% we will donate. But in this case, we have the silent auction and we have the tickets, and we're creating that kind of a revenue stream.
Although this is the first time the Hillside Market has sponsored the event for Esperanza Shelter, they have helped many other nonprofits.
We have worked with Healing Voices, another abuse organization. So we do a different events for nonprofits, and we will give a percentage of proceeds during that event to the nonprofit. So we're really wanting to support the community in that way.
For more information, you can contact the Hillside Market at 982-9994 or go to the website for either the Hillside Market or Esperanza Shelter.
Yes, we absolutely hope to see many people from the community come out and support Esperanza and come here to the market.
Tisha Shostrand with the Hillside Market. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
KSFR brings you another great night of jazz with vocalist Barbara Bentry and John Rangel piano, Andy Zadrozny bass, and John Trenacosta on drums. Wednesday, July 31st at the Museum Hill Cafe, beginning at 7. Get your tickets online at ksfr.org or by calling 428-1527. That's 428-1527 for an evening with Barbara Bentry at Museum Hill Cafe on July 31st.
1229 here in the KSFR newsroom. As we approach the bottom of the hour, it is our regular custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I just realized something, and I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that I forgot about it. As a friend of mine says, I've got a really good memory, it's just really short. Like a lot of people, I have a lot of coping techniques to help me remember things. At home, I call my number at work and leave messages, and at work, I call my number at home and leave messages. That works pretty well sometimes. I tried writing short notes to myself and putting them where I could see them, but for some reason, people didn't like me pinning my notes on their clothing. I also tried carrying a little spiral notebook and making notes in it, but I kept losing the notebook. I shouldn't even begin to tell you about the short-lived experiment where I would write a key reminder word backwards on my forehead so I could read it when I looked in the mirror. My poor memory is why I didn't remind you last Thursday that it was only 5 months until Christmas. Of course, now, because of my negligence, it's less than 5 months till Christmas.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul.
For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the desk, with thanks to my contributing colleague today, Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.